Merry Christmas. I'm so glad that you guys have chosen to join us tonight. And so I want to start off just by asking a couple of questions, mainly to the kids in the room. So I can see your hands, kids. So you gotta pick one of these two things, okay? So you gotta raise your hand out of the two options. So here's your first two options. If you had to pick a gift for Christmas, which one you would prefer? Option one would be a Barbie Dreamhouse. Option two would be a new t-shirt. So if you would vote to get the Barbie Dreamhouse, raise your hand really high. I see a bunch of hands. If you would like to have a t-shirt instead of the Barbie Dreamhouse, a lot of little boys raising their hands. Okay, so here's the second choice, the second kind of decision you have to make. If you could choose to have V-Bucks on Fortnite, if you guys don't know what that is, it's just the way that you can buy skins and outfits. Let's say you get $200 of V-Bucks. Or would you rather have a pack of new underwear? Okay, so if you would rather have the V-Bucks, raise your hand really high, for those of you that might play Fortnite. There's even some teenagers raising their hand. I respect that. All right. Or would you rather have a new pack of underwear? Oh, look at that. All the adults are raising their hand. They're like, I know the cost of things. All right, here's your last decision you have to make. Would you rather have a PS5 or an Xbox X or a brand new pair of socks? Okay, raise your hand if you would like to have the gaming system. Raise your hand real high. Or would you rather have a new pair of socks? By the way, I've realized the older I get, a new pair of socks is quite nice if you can get the good pair. So name brand is a little bit better. All right, here we go. So here's the point of me asking those questions. We value different presents in different ways, don't we? And a lot of these questions are sort of a no-brainer. I mean, there's no shade at getting socks or underwear. But in my house, when my kids open presents, they're ripping them open as quickly as they can. And if it's a toy or something that they've wanted, they will, like, celebrate it. They'll dance. They'll say thank you. If it's something that they don't want, normally a piece of clothing, my kids are, like, throwing it over their shoulder, and they're on to see the hunt until they get something that they really want. And my assumption is most of you in your homes are like that, too. I knew one family, they opened one present at a time, which I thought, that's, like, so good to teach people that. My kids are just tearing them open like wild animals. It's great. The point that I'm trying to make is that we obviously value different things in different ways. And the Christmas season is really no different. The point that I kind of want to just kind of zoom in on here in our short time together is for us just to look at the fact that Jesus is infinitely more value than any gift that we could get underneath our tree. And the gap of value between a Xbox or a PS5 and a pack of underwear is huge. There's a lot more money to get the gaming system. But I would argue, based on Scripture, the gap of value between any kind of material thing that you could buy and knowing Jesus is way larger than the gap between those two things. And so what I want to do today is I want to just spend some time showing you why Jesus is more precious and valuable than anything this world can offer us. So I just want to read a text. This is a very familiar text. It's from John 3:16. Here's what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. John is making it very, very clear that God gave us a gift, humanity a gift. He generously gave his Son to come to the earth to be a substitute for us. And if you've been coming to the branch for the last month, you know that every single Sunday over the last 4 weeks, we've been studying the birth of Jesus. We've looked at different accounts in the Gospels trying to highlight a particular theological theme or attribute or beautiful thing about our Savior. We spent the first week studying Mary's perspective. And we zoomed in on the fact that a baby was going to be born through a miraculous birth. The next week we looked at the wise men. We really zoomed in on the beauty that Jesus is the King. He's the Lord. He was worthy of the gifts they brought him. Then next week we looked at God as Emmanuel, that Jesus is with us, that God has manifested himself to be in the presence of sinful people like you and I, looking at Joseph's account. And yesterday we studied the account of the shepherds. And we looked at the humility of Jesus and how Jesus was born into a context that you and I would never let one of our kids be born into. And all of these serve a particular point. And the point of the birth of Jesus and God generously giving us his Son can be pretty much found in Genesis 3:15. So let me read this text to you. Here's what it says. Genesis 3:15. Now this is God declaring a consequence to Satan. Here's what he says. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. To paraphrase that, God is basically saying that all the consequences of what you've created into the world one day is going to create challenges and strain, and relationships are going to be painful and hard and difficult for the rest of humanity. But then God says something really cool. Basically, the offspring of Eve will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, that's some Old Testament language, and if you've never read that before, you probably might not fully understand it. So let me just take a second and break it down. So Genesis 1 through 3 is pretty much a summary of the whole Bible. That what you see in chapters 1 and 2 is God creates everything good. That God takes Adam and Eve and he creates them and puts them in this amazing garden. And this garden had everything that they would need. It had food to eat, it had places to go on adventures, places to travel, beautiful sights, there was animals to care for. It was paradise. It was everything that their hearts were ever needed. The only thing that God asked of them was for them to obey him. He gave them literally one rule, one command. There's a tree over here called the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and everything else in the garden you can eat from. Everything is for your good. All that I ask is you follow my words and you don't go and eat anything from that particular tree. But in Genesis 3, Satan shows up and he deceives Adam and Eve and he tricks them. And he convinces them that it would be better for them to disobey God than to obey God. And they eat of that fruit and sin enters the world. And when sin enters the world, that is what corrupts the good thing that God created. And instead of Adam and Eve doing the thing that God wanted them to do, which is worshiping him and serving him and enjoying him and finding fulfillment and satisfaction in God, the opposite happens. They don't find any of those things in God. And they live a life of brokenness and despair because of the reality of sin. And Genesis 3 is this long account of all of the problems that sin has created. It creates problems between men and women. It creates problems with the physical earth itself. It creates problems with the way that we work. And it separates us from God. Sin does all of those things. And when we just read 3:15, this is literally one of the coolest verses in the whole Bible. Because 3:15 says that one day God is going to make everything right that Satan messed up, is what it's saying. The text is getting at is that one day God is going to destroy the consequences of sin. God's going to destroy evil and the deception and the trickery of what he's done. And the Christmas, you say, what's this got to do with the Advent season of Christmas? Here's where the dots connect, okay? Christmas and the birth of Jesus is all about how God is going to make that evil thing right. Because the birth of Jesus is pointing to something greater. Jesus was born so that he could ultimately go to the cross. And Jesus would go to the cross for not a random reason, but for a very intentional purpose. He would go to the cross to save sinners like me and sinners like you from our brokenness and sin. And he's going to crush Satan's head. And the plan to crush Satan's head is to bruise his self. That's what the text is saying. The text is saying that Satan is going to be destroyed and his head's going to be squashed. But the only way the head can be squashed is whoever's squashing actually has pain inflicted to them. This is the message of the Bible. This is the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus. That Jesus brings salvation through his suffering and his substitutionary death on the cross. If I could put it in a really simple way, here's what it means. Y'all heard me say this before. Here's what God is saying. God is saying, one day, Eve, you're going to have a baby that's going to have a baby that's going to have a baby that's going to have a baby. And there's lots and lots and lots of babies for lots of generations. Until finally, there's going to be this little girl, this woman, this young woman by the name of Mary. And Mary's going to be in the presence of an angel, and the angel's going to tell her that she's going to have the Son of God. And that Son of God is going to live the perfect life that none of us could ever live. And at the end of that life, he's going to die the death that we were worthy of, and 3 days later, that Jesus is going to rise from the dead. And when he does that, he destroys Satan and all the problems that Satan created for us. See, the birth of Jesus means nothing without the cross of Jesus. And he did all of this for you. He did this because he loves you more than you can even imagine. He loves you on the worst thing and the worst day of your life. That his love for you is so abundant, there's no way to even capture it because it's so incredibly beautiful and glorious. And the birth of Jesus was all about showing us that he loves us and wanted us to rescue us and bring us back in right relationship with him. So there's two applications of this. Number one, if you are not a Christian, I would say, why not trust Jesus tonight, man? Your response needs to be is to trust and receive Christ. So you have to make a decision about Jesus. Either you receive him or you reject him. You cannot be on the middle path with Jesus, friends. You can't. Because either he's Lord or you just utterly reject him altogether. There's none of this, Jesus is A-okay with me. No, either you follow him or you abandon him. At least that's how Jesus said it. I heard one pastor at a church I really like a lot. His name's Timothy Atique. Here's what he said. He said, receiving Jesus is not like receiving a ticket in heaven. A ticket is something you use for a moment, but Jesus is not a ticket. He's God. Receiving Jesus means welcoming him into an intimate, ongoing relationship with you now and for all of eternity. So I'd say if you're not a Christian, I would invite you to trust Christ tonight. But if you are a Christian, our response is also a beautiful thing, which means we want to behold him, which that just means we want to be in awe of Jesus tonight. That God is good and he's kind and he's merciful and he's gracious and we are the ones that he has come to save. And so if you already know Christ, what our desire tonight is very simple. We just want to be blown away by his presence and his beauty. So here's how we're going to do this, okay? I told you I would be shorter than I normally am, so you're welcome. It's very hard for me to. By the way, just so you know, when you're preaching, it's way harder when you've been doing it for a little while to go short than it is long. I know that sounds wild, but it really is. But here's what we're going to do. We thought, James and I and Hannah and some of us as we were talking in our team, we thought what better way to close the service out than to let our kids sort of lead us out in our time at the end, okay? So if you are in the room and you are sixth grade and down, even if you didn't practice, we would like for you to come up the stage. So there's stairs here and there's stairs over there. Hannah and Emma are going to be here. They're our children's director, assistant children's director. So if you are in sixth grade and down, you're going to come on up the stage and you're going to kind of stand behind me. So come on. Don't be shy. Make sure you bring your candle, okay? Make sure you bring your candle. You got to have your candle. You guys, come up here. Come up here, baby. I want you to stand right here. You guys are going to come in and just kind of fill in here. Come on. Come over here. Go stand right next to Uncle Brian. Go down there by your knees. There you go. Fill in. There we are. Come on, guys. Any more kids, feel free to come on up. Come on up. Yeah, there you go. Come on, man. All right, so this is how we want to close our time out. This is not our building, so we prefer live fire, but we don't have the rights to do that in the structure. So we don't want somebody from the county telling us if it was a bad idea. So what we did is we're doing it with these candles here. So Mike's going to kind of dim the lights and so if you guys have these, all you got to do to turn this on is turn it to the right. There we go. It's going to get a little dark in here. And so we thought it would be just a beautiful thing for us just to sit in awe of God. And here, buddy, you can take mine. Hey guys, so if you guys will stand, James is going to close us out. And whenever we get done singing, nobody go anywhere. Eddie's going to come, and we've got sort of a special thing we want to bless you guys with as we end our time out. So thank you all for being here. And go ahead, James.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm. All is bright around yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heaven, peace, sleep. Night, holy night, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord,